Saturday marked 50 years since the death of British Prime Minister Winston Churchill. The towering historic figure is front and center in a new book, When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. Author Thomas Mayer weaves together the history and the fate of these two dynastic families with new research and plenty of personal family anecdotes. We spoke with Mayer about the connections between the families, beginning with a secret meeting between Churchill and Kennedy family patriarch Joseph Kennedy before World War II.
Because of Prohibition, there was really no mechanism in the United States of any great degree for the manufacture of liquor. So when Prohibition ended, Joe Kennedy was raided a cash-in. What he does is he goes on a boat to England, and Joe arranges to get British liquor contracts. They go to see Winston Churchill. And the bottom line out of this arrangement is that Joe gets the British liquor contracts. Winston Churchill gets a lucrative amount of stock in two U.S. companies that Joe Kennedy controls. And that friendly connection between the Churchills and the Kennedys was kept on the hush-hush because virtually all of the history of both these families was written after World War II.
And then, of course, in the run-up to World War II came the great divide between Kennedy and Churchill, mostly because of their vastly different views, at least at the beginning, of the menace that Hitler posed. Winston Churchill, we know, tried long time to warn his countrymen about the threat, but Joe Kennedy paid little attention, at least initially, before the war, except to wonder if Hitler should be embraced.
Roosevelt, FDR sent Joe Kennedy over to London to become the ambassador. And it really started off well, but as time went on, with the rise of Hitler, the imminence of war coming, Joe Kennedy, the father of two, if not three, draft-age sons, he was very aware that his sons might indeed get killed in this war. But of course, Winston, very succinctly and with a great deal of foresight, recognized the threat of Hitler, that he was essentially insane, and that the world would have to stop this madman.
I found it interesting to read in your book that England spied on Joe Kennedy, reading his cables, reading his writing, reading his doubts about Britain's survival, and also his criticism of FDR. Churchill was aware that Kennedy was being spied on and made the content of those cables known to FDR, you say.
Yeah, this was a spy case involving a fellow named Tyler Kent. He was working in the American embassy. He was taking the secret cables and the correspondence between President Roosevelt and Winston Churchill. He was making copies of them, and he was giving them through a girlfriend to the Nazis. And British intelligence kept an eye on Tyler Kent, even though Joe Kennedy was unaware that his employee was doing this, apparently. So for about 8 or 9 months, they kept an eye first on Tyler Kent, and then they realized that maybe Joe Kennedy might be involved in this thing. And then what happened was Winston Churchill became the prime minister. And within about 2 or 3 weeks, they lowered the boom on Tyler Kent.
Interestingly, and eventually tragically, Joe Kennedy came home, later met with reporters, delivered scathing comments in the U.S., pummeled again here for being an appeaser. His comments, you write, ended any notion that Kennedy might have a political career, and the family was worried it might also doom the careers of the sons. And it so worried Joe Kennedy Jr., you write, that he enlisted in the Air Corps and of course, was later killed in World War II in a secret mission.
Yeah, it's really interesting to watch because the sons, Joe Jr. and JFK, were very aware of this word of mouth about their father, that not only was he an appeaser, but maybe he was a coward. His sons were determined to show that they were not cowards. So Joe Jr. went on a number of dangerous flights over the Atlantic, and of course JFK became a hero in PT-109. Joe Jr. was the one who was thought of would be the first president of the United States from an Irish Catholic background. When he died, Everything then turned to Jack Kennedy.
You mentioned that young JFK spent a great deal of time reading about this larger-than-life character, Winston Churchill. And much later, when Jack Kennedy ran for the presidential campaign in 1960, you said that Churchill was like a spiritual godfather to him at that time. What did you mean?
He was. You know, JFK and Winston Churchill were writers at heart. They were very aware of the power of the word. So the craftsmanship of their speeches, particularly JFK's speech, when we talk, we think about that, that inaugural speech when he talks about paying any price for the cost of freedom. Those type of things, those were fundamentally Churchillian phrases.
Jack wasn't the only Kennedy son to cultivate admiration for Churchill. Bobby Kennedy kept a bust of Churchill in his office as Attorney General in Washington, as I understand it.
Well, he did. And, you know, this is one of the major amazements for me as a researcher, that the Kennedys and Churchills were first friendly. Then they had this bitter divide over World War II. But by the time period that you're talking about, which is the early 60s, Jack Kennedy, Jackie Kennedy, and Bobby Kennedy became friendly, particularly with Randolph Churchill, who was the only son of Winston Churchill. And, you know, so much of my book is about fathers and sons, about what is greatness, and how do we look at political dynasties and our expectations of greatness. And so much of the story of the Churchills and the Kennedys is about that sense of greatness.
Thomas Mayer, very good to talk to you. Thank you so very much for speaking with us and for the good read in your new book, When Lions Roar, The Churchills and the Kennedys. Again, thanks.
Bob, thank you so much.